It was a trap, but Jesus did not fall into it. Should they pay taxes to the emperor or not? If Jesus said no, he could be in trouble with the Roman authorities. He could be found guilty of sedition for saying that they should not pay that head tax to the emperor. Now, if he says yes, then he could be in trouble with his fellow Jews, particularly the Pharisees and others who want to observe the law strictly, including that part of the Ten Commandments where it says, "I am the Lord your God, you shall worship me alone, you shall not worship any kind of image." And on the cover of your bulletin is a picture of a denarius. It's a Roman coin with Emperor Tiberius's image on it. And that word in the Greek is actually icon. And the inscription on that coin is about Tiberius as a god. So how can a faithful Jew be carrying around a coin that's somehow in tribute to Tiberius, who claims to be God? And so it's a trap. Either Jesus is guilty of sedition for saying that you shouldn't pay your taxes, or he's potentially guilty of heresy for saying that it's okay to have these little Tiberius coins and pay taxes with them. But Jesus has actually set a trap for them. Notice that Jesus did not have a denarius on his person. Didn't even have the coin. He had to ask for one. And one of his questioners gave him one. And so how can they hold Jesus accountable for idolatry if they themselves are the ones that have the coin? Or how could they hold him accountable for refusing to pay his taxes when he didn't even have the coin to pay the tax? And so they set a trap for Jesus, but Jesus instead set a trap for them. And then Jesus said in the King James Version, "Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that belong to God." And on the surface, it sounds like a neat division, that we compartmentalize our lives, we pay our taxes, we do our civil and social obligations to the government, we do our obligations to our neighbors, to the schools, our employer, our families, and we also do our best to honor God. It sounds like, in some ways, a neat, simple division. But that's not really what Jesus is saying either. Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Okay, these little denarius tribute coins, okay. And render unto God the things that belong to God. But what belongs to God? Everything. God created all, and everything belongs to God. So as we go about sorting our priorities for budgeting, how we give our money, how we spend our time, we do not begin with the assumption that here is church stuff and religion stuff over here, and here is work stuff and vocation stuff and paying taxes stuff over here, and we have to carefully budget everything out. Instead, we're encouraged to begin with the premise that everything belongs to God. And knowing that, how do we then divide our time and treasure and our talent? And it's not an easy question, and it's not a question that I can answer for you. It's one of these questions that's a good reflection question for this season of Lent. How do we give? How do we spend our very lives in such a way that shows that we believe that everything belongs to God? And if the image of Tiberius Caesar is on those little coins, then what image is on each one of us? Imagine for a second, this was going to be the children's sermon. Imagine for a second that each one of us is a coin. And it's our face on that coin. And each one of us is created in the image of God. And what does that mean exactly? Some theologians through the ages have read that Genesis 1 passage very literally about humans having dominion over the animals and everything that creeps upon the earth. And so the the way that they would teach was that the image of God means that humans do indeed have dominion over all creation. Humans are the apex of the creation, so to speak. But many people through the years have expressed concern that if you take that kind of theology too literally, it gives us license to exploit all of our natural resources. It could potentially give us license to be cruel to animals because, after all, humans are on top. And so another way of thinking about the image of God is almost like as a mirror, that each one of us is meant to reflect God's glory and goodness. And there may be times when we don't fully reflect God's glory and goodness, or there may be times through our actions that we obscure that image of God in someone else. And so being created in the image of God most certainly means that each one of us has an essential human dignity that cannot be taken away. Even if others don't respect it, it cannot be taken away. But not only that, it points beyond ourselves to God and to all of humanity, to the ways in which we are connected and ought to be connected to each other. The great theologian Howard Thurman was the dean of the chapel at Boston University, and he was the first African American to be a professor at Boston University. And he was later a teacher and mentor to many of the leaders in the civil rights movement. And Howard Thurman had a childhood memory of his own grandmother, a former slave, telling him and all her other grandchildren that you are somebody. Don't let anyone make you forget that. You are somebody. And then many years later, in the 1950s, Howard Thurman and his family happened to be traveling through the South. They stopped to rest at a park, and as two little girls spied a playground, including a swing set and a slide, and they wanted to play on this playground, but as they got closer to the playground, Howard Thurman saw the sign that said, "For whites only, by state law." And so Howard Thurman gathered his daughters and explained to them that unfortunately they weren't going to be able to play in that playground, they weren't going to be able to swing on the swings or slide down the slide. And it was the girls' first direct experience with that kind of cruelty and racism. And they burst into tears. And then Howard Thurman grabbed his two daughters and said, "Listen to me. You are somebody. You are made in the image of God. You are holy and precious, and you are so powerful that it takes the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the state police to keep you girls off that swing." Something like that is what it means to either honor or dishonor the image of God in each other. Another story was written down in the Village Voice many, many years ago. Dorothy McGuire was starring in The Night of the Iguana, Tennessee Williams' play, on Broadway. And before the show began, there was a woman in the audience who seemed to be disturbed and somehow. She kept yelling over and over again, "Start the show! I want to see Dorothy McGuire!" And this was a full half hour before the show was scheduled to begin, because theater is always at 8. And she kept yelling this. And at first, people were startled, and then some people got mad. People would tell her to shut up or get out of here, you old hag. It became increasingly cruel. And the manager of the theater came to the woman and tried to be as kind and polite as he could, saying, "I'm afraid you're going to have to leave." And she said, "I'm not going to leave until I see Dorothy McGuire. Just let me see Dorothy McGuire, and then I'll leave." And as the manager was still trying to coax her out of the theater, Dorothy McGuire herself appeared from the part in the curtain. And she walked over to the woman and gave her a hug and said something to her. And earlier, the woman had been recoiling at anyone else trying to touch her or corral her, but she let Dorothy McGuire give her a hug. And then Dorothy gently led her off the stage. But before she did, she turned to the audience and said, "I'd like to introduce to you a fellow human being." Look around at the faces here in the sanctuary this morning. Look at the thumbprint faces on the Zoom call in the gallery view. Look at each face. Each face, each one of us, is created in the image of God, and that's the most valuable currency there is. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.